Everybody, welcome to the Thursday, June 1st Committee of Law Enforcement and Public Safety. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 5:15. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Gina Hansett.
Present.
Deputy Chair Christopher Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Tricia Bowen. Legislator Dean Fabiano.
Here.
Legislator Abe Uchitel.
Here.
Okay, can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Dean, would you start
with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome Legislator Bowen to our committee. Thank you for being here and thank you for serving, and we look forward to working with you.
Yep, thank you.
So we're going to approve the May 4th, 2023 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the May 4th meeting?
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes approved, 5-0. We're going to get right into our resolutions. Resolution number 299, amending the 2023 Ulster County budget, authorizing payment of retroactive COVID pay for Ulster County. Per legal counsel, it is recommended that this resolution be postponed until next month, pending notification from the county attorney on the status of the pending litigation. Any discussion?
I'll move to postpone it.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Okay. And that resolution is passed 5-0 for postponement. Resolution number 305. Approving the executive
execution.
I'm sorry, yes. Execution of a contract amendment for $56,000 entered into by the county CNS Engineers Inc. Department of Public Works. Would you like to speak on that?
I can. So this is for the Tanchi Tower site.
Mm-hmm.
The initial contract was to extend that tower by 40 feet for the new radio system. We're looking like that will not be feasible. So we're amending the contract to allow to do the programming to build a new tower site on the same property adjacent to the current tower site.
Okay.
So why is this language crossed out? It didn't actually.
The amount that was given was not agreed upon. That's why we postponed it last meeting.
Good, thank you.
Yep. So we were working on agreement and we were trying to get in to help with the time frame, and that's how it works.
Okay.
So we'll need to approve it as presented, because this is essentially an amendment from when it was initially introduced, I believe. That's why it's showing the red line.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Motion to approve as amended.
I'll second that. Oh, sorry.
Okay, so is there a motion to adopt?
As amended.
As amended.
Right.
Okay. And you got the second too. Is that you?
Dean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I do call the question now with this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll call the question. Is there a motion to adopt?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, and that carried 5-0. Resolution 309, placing a spending cap of X amount of dollars on all costs related to the proposed Government Operations Center at Paradis Lane in New Paltz.
Make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Discussion? Yes.
So the presentation that, there were two presentations given, one in the fall of, late fall of last year, and then there was another presentation given upon request of the chair of the legislature. At that point in time, and still I think, so we're at 30% of design. In any project that I've ever worked on capital, you would never present that was an effort for transparency and to give you a snapshot of where we were at that point of the process. So a 30% design was just to give you a sense of where we were and where it was headed. It is our job in the executive office to manage these projects. We've received the feedback, and it's the same feedback that the county executive has given to the consulting team, to emergency management, and myself as the lead on the project for the exec's office. Value engineering is putting it mildly. We are looking at all aspects of the project, but also we are chasing significant revenues for the project. So this is something that has been long overdue for 20 plus years. if you look at what other counties have done in terms of scaling or comparing an apple to an apple, I think the chair of this committee and I discussed, I think 20 years ago?
One was 10, one was 20.
$60 million?
Orange County, yes.
In Orange County. I do not think that this is out of scale for the need and for the level of emergencies that this county manages, even at the higher price tag. That being said, we are very cognizant of the reticence by the legislature and others based on past history in this county. That was a long time ago. That was in a separate form of government that no longer exists, and part of the impetus for a charter form of government was that project and how it was managed, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot has changed since then, process-wise, charter-wise, and what we're asking is not to put, and I don't want to say this in a disrespectful way, but to put arbitrary caps on something that the county's staff, the professional staff, has been working on for over a year. A lot has gone into this. A lot of thought has gone into this. Everett and his team has done an excellent job in defining what we need in order to take us in the next 30 years. We don't want to underbuild something and then come back and say, we need to do this again. So I really hope that this can be, honestly, I think our hope was defeated, withdrawn. Let us manage the project. Let us present to you again when the project's ready. You guys always have the power of the purse here. You are the appropriators. You have the ability to say no multiple times in this process. Let us get to you again so we can present the resolutions where you will have that point. But it is our job on the operations side to manage these projects. And listen, with this resolution and with all of the conversations we've had, we get it. We feel the same way. We're working on it. Let us just continue to do the work. This is a monumentally important project, and we just want that space to do that work. So, thank you.
Thank you. Discussion?
I'll just say I'm kind of confused about what this resolution would actually do. It's like as if we were going to pass a resolution that was like, we hereby declare the county executive should do a good job. And, you know, it's like about as much weight as that, you know, considering that all appropriations have to come through us anyway.
Correct.
I'm a little bit frustrated to be put in the position of voting for or against this because, you know, I worry that a vote against this would be perceived as like giving a blank check, which is, you know, obviously we know how hard fought the site selection was. We know there are no blank checks being given to the county executive, and certainly not on this project. And so I, you know, would be curious to hear from the sponsor about the, you know, the actual material significance of what this would do besides kind of being a memorializing resolution. And maybe if we talk to him, he'll be interested in withdrawing it or reconsidering it, or, if it is somehow meaningful, you know, I would consider it, but I'm confused about how it would work, frankly.
Okay. Yes.
I think at this point for tonight, I agree with Chris's comments about the project in its entirety, but I think tonight we should postpone it in case the sponsors want to come in and explain a little bit more. I would support that at this time.
Okay. Yes?
I do like the idea of Legislator Stewart coming to talk to us more about it, because I found a major highlight of the resolution was that it was $61,000 per acre for the land, and that makes me wonder why. And so I will have a whole bunch of questions over time of why certain things cost so much, how inflation is actually affecting the budget. I trust all of the work that's being done, and I want to thank everyone for their hard work and the choice in the architect who's thinking about the future and green choices. So I think that it is a team effort, that we're all working together and we care about each other's interests, but I want to have questions of how do we not go over budget. And I appreciate that the charter helped us maybe address a debacle so we don't have one again. And I hope that that's one of the solutions that we continue to consider.
And I just want to be clear on the record is that I was against the site location for a period of time, but just because I was against the location didn't mean that I was against the project. This project is definitely needed. It's been needed for a very, very long time.
Yes. So. Thank you.
And I just want to say, because I was very involved in the site selection discussion, because at the time I was chairing this committee, anyone who's concerned about the cost of the property going up can rest easy. The cost of the property is not going up. Every other cost is, though. And so if anyone's concerned about the price of the property going up, rest easy, because that is a done deal, and it is every other cost that we're concerned about. So at least that one we can check off the list. It is behind us.
Thank you. I did reach out to the sponsor, and he said that he was not attending tonight. I did have some questions. You know, does his cap include grants or any other funding we could get, or is it just county money? And then also, if you did have a cap and you went a little over, even $2,000 over, what does that mean? We'd have to go back. So I recommend that we take no action until we receive more information from the sponsor.
Just one more question.
Yes.
Chair, I'm wondering when we'll see updates from the executive branch, and will there be hard facts, like maybe a section that says areas of concern?
I'm going to refer to
So we're getting ready. So we're getting ready to make the leap from a 30% design to then getting more granular in terms of actually defining cable runs, mechanicals, like getting down another level. So I think probably as we move closer to, at this point, the fall is when we'll have a better picture of that, as well as there has been positive movement with regards to revenue. So on the federal level, Senator Gillibrand has leaned in significantly to try and put forward a significant amount of money for the project.
Cool.
But federal budget cycle hits October, so last year they didn't settle on that until December. But she's really stepped forward on this one. And then Everett and I are, this is a regular rolling conversation of chasing revenues. How do we use, and I'm just saying this as a for example, we legally receive 911 surcharge funds into 911. How can we use that to offset costs here? Because it's exactly what I think would be appropriate. So borrowing versus spending cash, right? So you'd be avoiding debt service fees. So there's a cost avoidance factor that we're looking at. There's building. So there's a lot of that is going into it. So I think early fall would be the next potential for that snapshot. But we want to make sure, and this resolution specifically gives us pause of doing that, because we need to manage the project. We need to get the facts together And if we're doing that by 23 plus our team and consultants, then we're just repeating the same mistake that was done in the jail. And that's what this really gives me a lot of pause. Sorry, but we do want to be transparent.
So I'm going to recommend that we take no action. Okay. Resolution number 336, adopting the Ulster County Department of Health and Emergency Services Medical Reserve Corps Unit Organization and General Operations Policy, Department of Emergency Services. Director Erickson, would you like to speak on this?
Sure. So the MRC, the Medical Reserve Corps, was implemented after 9/11, and it's a way to help coordinate doctor, medical professionals, and non-medical professionals to assist during times of need. Example would be COVID. COVID, we took on about 150 volunteers, but there was nothing established within our county to really coordinate those efforts. And we kind of worked last minute to put that together. So this is a policy that we're asking the legislature to adopt to allow us to manage this group that we currently have.
Okay, is there any discussion?
I'll just say, in the health meeting last night, I asked about my one concern, which was regarding the budget impact that was listed at,
right,
I think, $56,000. I didn't realize at the time that this was included in the budget already, so it's not new, it's already budgeted.
Right.
So I am comfortable with it, and we voted unanimously to advance it last night.
Great. Any other discussion? Okay, is there a motion to adopt?
I move to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Resolution number 351, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an MOU between the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services and the Department of Emergency Services for access to Criminal Justice Information Services files, Ulster County Department of Emergency Services. Director Erickson?
So this is an update of our current MOU with New York State. The 911 Center, just like most all law enforcement agencies, has access to justice to run license plates and information on behalf of the law enforcement officer that's handling an incident. To provide critical information at the time of need. So with changes within the department, the names listed on who's the point of contact has changed. So and that MOU has expired, so we need to update it.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? Okay, as I see there's no discussion, is there a motion to adopt?
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? And the motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 352, amending capital project number 482, countywide radio system, amending the 2023 capital fund budget, Department of Emergency Services. And again, Director Erickson, would you like to talk about that?
This is for the Golden Hill Tower site upgrades that need to be done in order to upgrade our phone system and radio system. So this is with Motorola. It's a change order to our current contract that we have with them.
No motion. Is there any discussion?
Thank you. Eventually, the facilities all that use these are going to be moving, we expect, to Paradise Lane, is that right?
So the facility will be moving to Paradise Lane. Our tower site will not be moved.
Okay.
So this is a multitude of work that needs to be done to the tower site. So the generator needs to be replaced because it's inadequate to run the system there. There's a shelter there that needs to be upgraded. It doesn't meet R52 grounding. So there's numerous things that need to be done to the tower site itself. This is work for the tower site, not inside the building. you know, equipment inside the building, like the phone system and the radio consoles and everything like that, that's all separate.
Can you explain a little bit about all the whereases that equal about, was it 8 million? I just added them. No, it's more like 16 million just for all of
these.
These
are all the whereases to amend the capital project itself over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I go back to look at what year exactly the 482 was established, and then we've been doing work every single year on this radio system trying to upgrade it and you know, hopefully finishing up in the next few years. So that's just amending the capital project.
Since 2016?
Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of this was grant funded.
Yes, we've been doing a lot of this through grant funding.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Resolution number 354, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Education Services, BOCES, to provide 2 deputy sheriffs as school resource officers to 3 BOCES locations. Ulster County Sheriffs, Sheriff Figaro, would you like to speak on this?
So this is, we presently have SRO at BOCES. They're requesting a second one. Like every other agency, we're having issues right now with folks leaving for higher paying jobs. So we may have to do 2 part-timers, but they're paying for full salary and benefits for these 2. On a side note, the superintendent came and visited and discussed this, as well as doing the GED exams at the jail. So this is good news. I know we've spoken about this before, and he was all for it, which is the training will come from Ulster Literacy, and then the actual tests will be given by folks over at BOCES.
Very good. Is there any discussion? As there's no discussion, is there a motion to adopt?
I'll second it.
Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Abstain.
Might not be able to. We're only supposed to abstain when there's a conflict, is my understanding. So I would seek guidance on that. I was told once that I wasn't able to abstain, unless I had like a...
You had to have like a work...
Yeah,
be
like
work
a work
related
like a work conflict
or something of that.
Yeah. I mean, you can vote no. I'll tell you this. My vote yes tonight does not mean I'm going to vote yes for it on the floor.
Yeah, that's another option you have.
But I don't want to be the one that holds it in the committee. That's just my personal thing.
Also, if you vote no, it'll still get through committee. Sometimes if you vote no, it won't pass committee. So you still vote no if you vote.
So I'll be a no vote.
Okay. So it's...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Let me just add on that. I respect the legislature as my oversight, but as I do my homework, when I do this, I would hope that members of this legislature who don't represent those areas at least do their due diligence and speak to the people that are actually doing the hiring, and the people that the parents and the children of the people of that school district who are making the decisions. And if understanding you don't represent that area, then at least talk to them before you do a vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's a
legislator
that's a fair
Usutel.
Point. Oh, sorry.
No, I'll defer to Legislator
okay.
Bowen.
That is a fair point. This is not my district. But I do have concerns about the SRO program, and I will reach out to the trainer to have more conversations about that.
Thank you very much.
This is for BOCES, so
this
would potentially serve the entire county, even though the locations are in these specific places. So this could be students from anywhere in the county.
Anywhere in the county,
exactly right. And I do want to say that, you know, I every time this comes up, I very much appreciate everything the sheriff does to bring us information, and it's always a very robust conversation. And I will just share a quick anecdote that one thing I always hear is about how the SROs can sometimes tell when the vibes are off with a student and talk to them and kind of see, hey, are you doing okay? And I was on a phone call earlier this week. My vibes were off, and I was having a very bad time, and the sheriff called me afterwards and to check on me to see if I'm okay, and I really appreciated it. And after I hung up, I was like, so this is what SROs do. I get it, you know. So
you got your own SRO right here.
The SRO at BOCES right now is a gentleman by the name of Justin Watson, who's a great SRO and is an African-American, and he does a phenomenal job there. And the superintendent is extremely happy with him, and I think that's important to know, especially with the students that go to the BOCES program.
Thank you. Senator Pond?
So in terms of the SRO building relationships and like sort of a touch point for students, there are numerous people employed by the district that are touch points for students. There are teachers, there's counselors, there's this, you know, like there's the assistant principal, the principal, there's their peers, so there's coaches, there's just so many people that work within the school districts that the constant highlighting of the SRO as the one person to do that is ignoring how many other people are looking out for children within the school.
And I will say, as someone that spent 20 years in education working in a school, there is a lot of go-to people, yes. But for some reason, I can only speak for my experience, my SROs that I've worked with, there is just a special relationship, and a lot of students gravitate towards them. And I've only found truly positive things in my 20 years in Marlboro, so.
I think this is a healthy conversation, because in the last 2 months I've learned from both of you, and when I read this again this morning, I thought about you and how we talked about the guns and just training in general. So I think the healthy ongoing conversation will help the program become better, and you made a great point about, I think, what Legislator Bohm was just mentioning, that maybe the SRO isn't always the right person, but maybe this conversation will evolve to be right, to say who is the right person, yeah. And the SRO can feel the vibe and say, maybe you should see this person, or there's a county resource over here, so the training can help guide people. And I'm also still not in favor of the weapon, especially in a country with increased gun violence. So maybe we can lead the charge by not having weapons and show people we don't really need weapons around us. I appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
Sheriff Figueroa?
Last point. Kathy Nova stated at the last vote of the SROs, the schools don't have to hire law enforcement. They can hire security guard, armed security guards that don't have the same training. I recommend that the members of the committee look up the CPAS training, which I sent the curriculum to in the past, the folks on this committee. You can also Google it, and this is a certification by the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services that the New York State Sheriff's Association sponsors and teaches, and CPAS. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I will only speak for myself in my experience in working in school, and oftentimes when a student goes to an SRO, then that SRO will go to other other personnel in the school where they feel maybe they can provide more or give more information on somebody's situation. So with all that said, I think we're going to do just vote on it again so that we can.
Sure.
So, is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So, motion is carried 4-1. Resolution number 355, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $11,858, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county, New York Communications Company, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa?
This is the extension of our NICOMCO contract for four radios.
For what was it for?
Four radios.
Four radios, okay.
Okay, is there any discussion?
I'll just say it's all, like, all these NICOMCO contracts. Oh. so painful, but that's all I want to say.
Yes.
So, based on the committee chair meeting, I've asked the budget department to collect all of the NICOM code contracts that exist across the county, and really it seems the analysis is going to be a buy versus lease. That's one of the criteria, but it's also to see just across the board how much we have. Can we roll this into an umbrella contract? Will there be efficiencies there or not? And then, again, I do want to caution, and I think Everett and the sheriff would echo this, is there's not competition in this field. Like, I know we can all complain about NICOMCO because they are it, but they are it. And the only other competitor I've ever had a bid from when I worked for the state was Goostown. They didn't have the coverage that would have worked for us. So I think it's more about an analysis of options on how you finance these purchases, maybe buying them and in-housing tech, but I don't know. I feel like I'd still be going to NICOMCO for parts.
Sheriff, I just want to echo what the deputy county executive said, is right. We're the only show in town. It's a monopoly. One of the first things I did when I became the sheriff was combine a lot of these contracts, because they had so many. I got them down to about 20 or 25, but there were a lot of them. Why do we have so many different contracts? And there's ultimately a difference between purchasing and leasing. When you lease, you can upgrade. When you purchase, you can't upgrade, and now you're stuck with it after a warranty that ends. And they're the only business in town that can do the work that we need for the purposes of public safety.
Deputy Executive Kelly, I'm wondering, since you've been in this work for a while, is it legal for our Economic Development Department to encourage a business that we find is a monopoly, to encourage someone to start a business in communications, let's say, and then we would have a local business that's being developed that can also bid on jobs like this? Or is that like a conflict to promote that business? You see what I mean?
I'm just
looking at a list of things our county needs. Another communications company.
I mean, we're working with, for example, Archtop Fiber is a new company that's looking to be competitive in extending 1 gigabit to 10 gigabit fiber throughout Ulster County, and that is in direct competition with Time Warner, or Charter, whatever it's called today.
Right.
So I think encouraging businesses to locate here and create jobs is always part of our purview.
Sheriff Figueroa?
Madam Chair, just one last point. There are different types of communications that just the sheriff's office has. You have your corrections division, when you do transports, the communications within the jail. You have the criminal division, and then you have your encrypted radio communications that 911 would not have. We have, because of the cases that we do. So there are different types of communication requirements that all of us have.
So it's more complicated than we see.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's their earner.
Could the sheriff comment more about the leasing period versus the purchase option, like the period of time over which you see the equipment becoming obsolete?
I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to talk about the radios, but it's very similar, because I don't have that specific information in front of me. We purchased Panasonic body cams through the Attorney General's Office grant in 2019 when I took office. After the murder of George Floyd, those cameras just weren't what we needed. It was a 3-year warranty. We purchased them, and in order to fix them, it was $700 to get them fixed. The warranty was over with, and that's what we had to pay, was $700 to get these fixed. We came to the legislature and said, this particular item, replacing all of them, is just, it's not cost effective, and it's not what we need in today's world of law enforcement. For example, the Axon system that we have now, the state police, City of Kingston Police Department have the same Axon body cams and dash cams. You take your taser out of your holster or your weapon out of your holster, and it doesn't matter if you're KPD, state police, or the sheriff's office, all the body cams automatically turn on. And those are features that were needed today for the purposes of transparency and what our public wants when it comes to law enforcement after the period that we just went through. Radio systems are pretty much the same thing. You're going to be looking at, if you lease something, that's how they make their money, obviously, is to lease it and to give you free upgrades and free radios because you have a lease. If you purchase them, you're going to run out of that warranty, and now you're going to have to either purchase the radios again, because radio frequencies, and I'm sure radio systems, and I, by the way, I sit on the 911 interoperable board for the state of New York, and I believe the state of West Virginia already has all their radio systems up and running, and the purposes of this board is after 911, not everybody can talk. Here we are so many years later, we still can't talk to each other if there's an emergency. And these are the issues because of the different radio systems and the update. It's just like a computer. You buy a computer, in 5 years, it's obsolete. You got to get a new computer. The programs don't work on them. And radio systems are the same.
Any other discussion? With no other discussion, is there a motion to adopt?
Move to adopt.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 356, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $147,069 entered into the county Tyler Technologies, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa. Well,
this is our law enforcement records management system. When this contract with Tyler was done, it included the majority of the local law enforcement entities and 911 emergency services for the county. So all the licenses were purchased via this contract. This is just an extension of the contract. And when I say records management, every agency in this county except the Saugerties, the state police, and the city of Kingston Police Department are all on the law enforcement records, county records management system that is Tyler.
Okay. Just to elaborate on that as well, we have, that also includes the fire records management system and EMS. So it's for all first responder agencies in the county that have access to use this system. So it leads to the radio interoperability. I mean, interoperability is a lot larger than that. It's the CAD, and there's so many other things that we're working on, but this is one of them.
Thank you. Any more discussion? Is there a motion to adopt?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Resolution 357, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $24,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, Verify Polygraph and Forensic Consultants, LLC, Ulster County Sheriff.
Chair, this is a polygraph for hiring our folks, our peace officers and police officers.
Discussion? Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 358, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $12,512.51, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, Visual Computer Solutions, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa?
So this is our payroll system. We have five different shifts in the sheriff's office. So VCS is our payroll system that we communicate with the counties, I believe, Munis system.
Any discussion? Pretty straightforward.
Thank you. I guess I haven't paid enough attention, but do we have different payroll systems for all different departments throughout the county, or what's different about this one?
This is more specialized for the sheriff's purpose, which is very different from the rest of the county. So everyone else is on time force, and he uses a different scheduling system. So, but then we, every 2 weeks, we merge the data, and that's it.
And that data gets sent to the county as well as the comptroller's office.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? A motion to adopt?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 359, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to amend a contract with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the Alternative to Incarceration Program Department of Probation. Director Naccarato.
Yeah, this is our the DCJS grant that we get every year, which partially funds both our community service and pretrial program. So it's just
great.
Accepting that.
Okay, any discussion? Is there a motion to adopt?
We'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 360, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $244,425 entered into the county by Family of Woodstock, Inc., Department of Probation.
We had the 5-year for the restorative justice with Family of Woodstock, so this is just the last year. So we're doing the contract for the
1-1-1231. Okay. Okay, is there any discussion? That's a motion to adopt.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Resolution number 361, amending the 2023 county budget to upgrade a part-time family court assistant public defender position to full-time and raise the pay rate. Public Defender's Office, and Deputy County Exec Kelly's going to speak on this.
Yep, thank you, Chair. So this is really happening for two reasons. One basic metric of providing equitable counsel for indigent clients is caseload. So one of the things that Indigent Legal Services will look at is how well our cases are balanced, and they'll start to pressure us in order to balance those cases. Which means more staff. Right now, the public defender, who was the chief assistant for family court, is still carrying 80 cases, and that can't happen. There's also been an increased burden on public defense because the 18B panel, as well as the conflict defender that used to exist to serve family court, the conflict defender position's gone. Dutchess pulled it back because they have their own crisis in covering family court. So we've lost coverage. So the need for increased hours is even more. This is an oddity in that department, and I would say in any department, to have a three-quarter non-benefited position. So this feels like it was created for a person or specific scenario. You can't recruit for a three-quarter time position. So we do have public defenders that are part-time, but they're able to balance with private practice. Three-quarter time doesn't let you do that, so we couldn't fill it. We had two people turn us down, so we have a very qualified person ready to take it, which would give the department and the public defender great relief.
They need.
So.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. I would like to note that resolution number 364, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund for the Government Operations Center, the County of Ulster, under section 6C of the New York State General Municipal Law, is in committee, but it will not be in this committee.
Why would it not be in this committee?
That's the only information I was given.
Well, I have a problem with that. I'll just say, like, I got resolutions on housing that are in frickin' economic development, sorry, and there, and this is a resolution that's literally about an emergency services thing, so I will be following up with our staff about that, because I think that we should have a greater level of respect in this body, broadly, for the subject matter of what each committee is tasked to do, because we really become experts on working with these department heads. We become experts on the different technologies, the different constraints, the needs, and anything that relates to emergency services. I would very much like to see come through this committee. It seems that there is a double standard that's being developed for how resolutions are moving through, and I got a big problem with that. So I'll be following up. I know no one here is the reason for it, and I'm sorry for speaking so firmly on the topic. I appreciate it.
And I will be following up as well. Does anybody have anything else they would like to add? Yes.
Well, can you clarify what the topic is again for Everett and I?
I'm going to repeat what I was given. Yes.
I appreciate it.
I would like to note that resolution number 364, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund for the Government Operations Center of the County of Ulster County under section 6C of the New York State General Municipal Law, is in committee, but it will not be in this committee. And that's all I was given.
Okay.
And we will talk, and we will get some more information on this.
Go get it done.
Okay. We have a guest here this evening, Juanita Hotchkiss, Director of Communication Relations and Incarcerated Individuals, Ulster County Sheriff's Office.
My title changes a
lot. Is that what it is now or no?
No.
It's not? Okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
It's never my title, though. But I will clarify. So I'm the Director of Community and Incarcerated Services with the Ulster County Sheriff, and I'm also a licensed social worker.
Okay.
Just wanted to note this as well. And so I am very happy to be here and introduce myself and some of the work that we've been doing. This is a newly created position by the county and by the sheriff's office, and I've very much been operating as a bridge between public health, mental health, and incarcerated services, as well as working with the criminal division as well. So prior to walking into this role with this sheriff, I was working with the Department of Mental Health and the Department of Health, overseeing the healing community study intervention, which was essentially surrounded three evidence-based practices to address the opioid epidemic in Ulster County. And so through that work, I was introduced to the sheriff and his team and some of the work that they were doing. And there was so much overlap between public health, mental health, and the work that the sheriff had already started with his Oracle team. And so I had, opportunity to apply for the first Bureau of Justice grant, the COSAP grant that the sheriff's office received to expand the Oracle team to include a social worker and two peers, and to truly develop a model that is now nationally recognized by communities throughout the country. And so with that said, I am now working with the sheriff's office, overseeing some of the work that I was engaging in while with mental health, Department of Health, public health, out on the other side of the, and some of that is the medication for opioid use disorder programming in the jail. So I am overseeing the implementation of that, overseeing community services now that are coming back into the jail, including the literacy program. And I know you have your hand up. He's telling me, you're not saying all. So those are two of the programs of seeing, also bringing innovative ideas and innovative programming that is both socially community responsible programming into the sheriff's office. I oversee the Oracle program and programming, and we recently were able to secure another grant for $1.3 million. So I'm very proud, and Chris is smiling.
It's the budget in me.
He used it to his ears.
He likes money. Secure additional funding to include a reentry coordination for individuals who are on the medication for opioid use disorder program to really bridge the gap into the community and also expand the reach of the Oracle team, because we were getting so many community referrals. And, you know, it's essentially, it's like kind of a walk-in center at this point. People can call in, they can come in, and we needed someone to be able to be there to meet them, and so we were able to secure that. So that and Avert and whatever else I get thrown, but I'm going to turn it to you, because I know he's like, he didn't do it right.
you did a, may I, Madam Chair?
Of course.
She did a great job, but...
there's more.
The director is at the pinnacle of the change of culture and professional policing. That's what this is. It's historic. It's groundbreaking. And why not the person who was initially involved in the original Oracle program and the continuation and expansion of that? And that means everybody that deals with the criminal justice system has to come through her office. She sits on my executive committee, as well as two other civilians in the sheriff's office. And this was all part of the Professional Policing Act and the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force and the reimagining of police. And we have learned so much from her and her staff, I can't even begin to tell you. Most would say, and we go through this all the time, why law enforcement? Well, we're the first ones there. You're not going to get people to show up at 2:00 in the morning. You will get a police officer to show up there. And to change that culture and behavior on how we deal with people with substance abuse and mental health issues is huge. And I thank her, because she plays a major and leading role. And as you can tell, she's going to say what's on her mind. Whether it is a sheriff, the undersheriff, or anybody else, and that's exactly what we need in law enforcement. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say I'm happy to be back. And sure, I'll be back.
Yes. Thank you for coming and introducing yourself and telling us what you do. And all of you, continue your great work that you're doing in the county and beyond. Let's see. Does anyone have any new business?
I work until 5:00, and it's hard for me to get from here, from New Pulse to here,
okay,
in under 15 minutes without breaking the law.
Well,
the sheriff can guide you here.
Yeah.
Take the throughway.
Could we shift this to 5:30?
Maybe? I'm fine with it. Sure.
We must.
5:30?
Yeah.
You're my
everybody's
outsider.
I'm fine with it. So, yeah, that's, we can do that. We can shift it back to 5:30.
No problem.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes. I would like to recognize that May 7th through the 13th was National Correction Officers Week. May 14th through the 20th was National Police Week, where we honor fallen officers. And May 21st through the 27th was National EMS Week. Thank you to all for their service in our county. Anyone have any old business? While you were out of the room, do you have, Legislator Bowen was just wondering if 5:30 would be okay.
Oh, that's fine.
It's okay. All right. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
This meeting is adjourned. Oh, it says to use my gavel.
No, we don't need to vote on the adjournment. Just need a second.
Yep. All right. Thank you, everybody.